This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk to you about the shortest road to hell. Jesus talks about a narrow way that leads to eternal life and a broad way that leads to destruction. The way to hell is very broad, meaning that many people are traveling that road. But I'm going to suggest this morning that it's also a short road. You really don't have to do a whole lot to go to hell. And so I want us to think about that this morning. Are you traveling the shortest road to hell? In other words, the quickest way to get there. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. We always appreciate those who study God's Word with us. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, the writer of the book of Hebrews has been encouraging his readers not to fall away from Jesus Christ. He is writing to Jewish Christians. And some of them are being tempted and persuaded to leave Jesus Christ and go back to the old law. And the writer is trying to encourage them not to do that. And one argument that he makes throughout the book is that Jesus is the better or superior way. The word better is used several times in the book. In other words, if you have something better in Jesus Christ, why would you go back to something inferior? And so that is the basic argument of the book of Hebrews. And along that line, the writer opens up in chapter 1 showing that Jesus is better than the angels. Chapter 1 and verse 4. And then in chapter 2, let's read together. Chapter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, based upon the fact that Jesus is better than the angels, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? So, he has just been talking about the importance of angels in chapter 1. And when they revealed God's word and people transgressed that and they received a just or fair recompense of reward, excuse me, what's going to happen to a person, a Christian in particular here, who transgresses and leaves the gospel of Jesus Christ? So the importance of verse 1, giving heed, paying attention, taking it seriously to the things that were heard, that is, what was heard in the gospel of Jesus Christ, lest haply we drift away from them. And then the writer asks a question in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Friends, I believe the shortest road to hell, or at least one of the shortest, if not the shortest, road to hell would be neglect. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Friend, are you neglecting your salvation from sin through Jesus Christ? I believe one of the shortest roads to hell, the quickest way to get there, is just simply to do nothing, to neglect so great a salvation. And I want this question to sink in with you this morning, as it does with me, of the importance of negligence and the damage that it can do. if we neglect so great a salvation? Verse 1, will we take heed to it? Will we listen and obey it? Or, verse 1, will we drift away from it after obeying it? How shall we escape? It's a rhetorical question. The writer is not wondering because he doesn't know. It's a rhetorical question. We shall not escape. There is no escape. If we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord Jesus, was confirmed unto us by them that heard, his apostles. And they worked miracles to confirm that their word was the very word of God. Verse 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And great it is. The greatness of the salvation of Jesus Christ provided for all mankind. That's a good lesson just in itself. All of the great things that go along with that salvation. Forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven, ultimately. But let's focus on that word neglect this morning, and I believe it is the shortest road to hell. Friends, I want us to think about this idea of neglect, where we just simply don't pay attention to those important things in life. We don't take care of those important things in life. And I believe that there are some things that we can neglect and it doesn't have eternal consequences. There might be something around the house or something on the car that doesn't work and we've neglected that. That's not going to have any eternal consequence. I've always had things that I've neglected to repair, things around the house that really aren't life-threatening in any kind of way. They're not a part of a daily functioning. I've got a floor at home that is a little unlevel. I'd like to get it leveled up someday. I've just been putting that off. If I never get to it, it might cause further problems. It may not, I don't know, but things like that, things on the car, they're really of not eternal consequence. But my salvation is, and so is yours. And we certainly don't want to neglect things in life that are important. So let's talk a little bit about negligence on the program today. First of all, negligence can show up at work. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, the Proverbs talk a lot about the lazy man. But in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, he becometh poor that worketh with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Some versions talk about a negligent hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. There's some people who will not get up and get to work. They're lazy. And they're not busy in life. And so they might be poor. They might have other problems that go along with that. And of course, in today's society, everybody's just simply looking for a free bailout instead of working. But in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, we find the same thing. I went by the field of the sluggard or the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. The face thereof was covered with nettles, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I beheld and considered well, and I saw and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as a robber, and thy want as an armed man. It's going to come back and hit you hard. This laziness and neglect in physical work. So neglect shows up at work. A second place that negligence shows up would be with carelessness, not being careful with things of life. And again, there are some things where it wouldn't hurt anybody or cause a major problem, but then there might be some other things where it is very serious in nature. And what's interesting about this is there were laws in the law of Moses that actually addressed this kind of thing to keep people from being negligent and hurting others. Here's a few examples in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 33. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money unto the owner thereof, and the dead beast shall be his. In other words, you can't just dig a hole and leave it there for an animal to fall in and break its leg. It's no more use to its owner. You can't do that. You need to pay back if you do something like that. So if you dig a hole, cover it up so it won't hurt others. Here's another example in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 6. If fire break out and catch in thorns so that the shocks of grain or the standing grain or the field are consumed, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. You can't just be negligent and careless if you're building a fire. And I've had that happen before. I have started fires, brush fires, other kinds of things that I thought were in control, and then the wind whips up. And there was one time when I was doing some burning and it got out of hand, and I was really concerned, just on the verge of calling the volunteer fire department about that. So I know what that's like, and you've got to be really careful before you burn. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 8, there's another example of this kind of thing. We can't just go through life foolishly or without thinking. We have to be careful in what we do. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. When you build a new house, then thou shalt put a battlement or a wall, a retaining wall for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thy house if any man fall from there. You have to put a protective edge around the top of your house. You can't just simply have a flat roof and then immediate drop off. You have to have some sort of protection there. In other words, these are laws against negligence and carelessness. Number three, negligence shows up in the family. Eli did not restrain his sons in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13. There are parents who will not guard and control and discipline their children. They're negligent. They bring them into the world, and then they just don't do a whole lot after that. And it causes a lot of problems because those kids grow up and they'll be terrible. And Eli's sons were a problem. And so negligence shows up in the family. Some people are negligent toward their marriage, husbands toward wives and wives toward husbands. They won't fulfill those obligations and responsibilities in marriage. They're busy with work and friends and other kinds of things, and their marriage is going down the tubes. They're neglecting it. It's easy to do because you just don't do anything. That's why I call this the shortest road to hell. It's so quick, you really don't even have to work at it. You know, start a fire. Don't worry about it. If the wind's blowing, you know, don't worry about where it goes. Just let it burn. And if it burns somebody else's crops, no big deal. You just don't have to do anything. That's why negligence is so easy to do. There's no work. But friends, we cannot neglect so great a salvation. Number four, negligence shows up in the Lord's work. We're supposed to be busy doing what God wants us to do. And as Christians, first of all, we need to obey the gospel, and I want to encourage you to do that. to repent and be baptized, to confess that Jesus is the Christ. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to help you to do that. And after you become a Christian, you need to be busy serving the Lord. We've got too many people serving themselves today, and that's one reason why we have so many problems in our society. But God has a work for us after we become a Christian, and we need to be busy doing that. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, Hezekiah is one. Hezekiah and Josiah are two kings in Judah that bring back some reformation and restoration. And they are good kings in this way. And we find in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 11 that Hezekiah is encouraging the priests and the Levites to do their work. Verse 10, 2 Chronicles 29:10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with Jehovah, the God of Israel, that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for Jehovah has chosen you to stand before him, to minister unto him, and that you should be his ministers and burn incense. Don't be negligent. Get to work. And there had been in Judah the idea of leaving God. There was idolatry and other things going on, and Hezekiah is trying to bring back not only the people, but the religious leaders, those who are part of the temple sacrifices, and get the temple cleansed, get the sacrifices going again, and don't be negligent in that work. Another great passage along these lines is Jeremiah chapter 48, Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. When God gives us something to do, we need to be busy doing that. Cursed be he that does the work of the Lord negligently, and cursed be he that keeps back his sword from blood. So let us be busy doing the Lord's work. In the little book of Haggai, after God's people come back from the captivity, they lay the foundation of the temple, and then they stop. They get their lives on other things, their own houses, their own personal lives, and the work of the Lord of rebuilding the temple stopped. And in Haggai chapter 1, Haggai and Zechariah stir up the people to finish building the temple. And in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4, Haggai says, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses while this house, the temple, lies waste? Consider your ways." Verse 5. So get up, get busy, and finish this thing. Verse 8. "Go to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it." You've neglected the Lord's work for your own personal affairs. So negligence shows up there as well. Number 5, negligence shows up in a person's priorities. And that's what's going on with one's salvation. People are working on their own lives, doing what they want, their material things, their house, their car, their phone, their other material possessions. They're working on their job. They're working on their education. They're working on a lot of physical and temporal things, but they're neglecting their salvation. And it's because their priorities are messed up. There's nothing wrong with those things that I've just mentioned, but salvation needs to come first. Put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. Put the kingdom of God first. An example of this, Jesus rebukes the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23 and verse 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe," you count out a tenth, "you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. But these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. It's not either or, it's both. Tithing is fine, but don't neglect these other things. And so there are things in life that are fine. One's education, one's job, one's house. But we don't need to leave the other undone. Prayer, Bible study, assembling with the saints on the Lord's Day, taking the Lord's Supper, contributing to the work of the Lord, becoming a Christian, remaining faithful as a Christian, being a faithful church member. It's not either or, it's both. But so many people neglect the spiritual things while they're taking care of the physical things of their life. Number six, negligence shows up then in one's salvation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus came to get people interested in the spiritual side, taking care of the salvation from sin. His apostles did the same thing, and we're trying to do the same thing today on the Let the Bible Speak program. Focus on our so great a salvation and don't neglect that. And even Christians need this message. That's originally the setting of Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. There are Christians. There are those who have claimed to be New Testament Christians. There are those who've claimed to be members of a Church of Christ who are now neglecting so great a salvation. A lot of times it happens when young people get out on their own in the decade of the 20s. The decade of the 20s, when you get to your 20s, that is a major decade for you. When you're getting out on your own, before your parents were taking you to the church service, now you do that on your own or not. Your parents were making you get your Bible class lesson. Now you're deciding on your own whether or not you do that. Your parents were encouraging you to live right. Don't look at certain things and don't engage in certain things and do these other things. Now you're on your own and you're making those decisions. And I'm seeing where a number of young people who were raised in churches of Christ are neglecting so great a salvation. And what's interesting about that is, and unfortunate, sometimes those people, those young people, are being praised for their great educational accomplishments. They're being praised for their work, or they're being praised for their intelligence and praised for a number of things like that, but they're lost and they're traveling the road to hell. And so, friends, it's fine to have these worldly types of accomplishments, but don't do it at the expense of neglecting so great a salvation. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, the rich farmer was doing well in his job. But God said, verse 20, "Thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which you have prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus spoke of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, a few chapters over in verses 30 and 31. Lazarus was a poor beggar, and he ends up in Abraham's bosom. The rich man lived delicately. He had all kinds of nice things, but he ends up in torment. So there are people who are taking care of this life and the money and the things that they need for this life, but they're not taking care of their soul's salvation for the next life. They're neglecting it. So negligence shows up in a number of different areas. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus teaches the parable of the individuals who slighted or neglected or ignored the invitation to come to the wedding feast. And it's a parable illustrating coming to the gospel, like coming to a wedding feast. And so we find in Matthew 22 and verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. And again, he sent other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner, and my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it and went on their ways, one to his own farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. Some people don't want the gospel invitation, and so they are antagonistic toward it. But look at these other individuals in verse 5. It just simply said they made light of it and went their way. The words made light of it come from a Greek word, amaleo, meaning to be careless, not to care. They just didn't care. They weren't physically antagonistic like the other ones who laid hold on the servants and shamefully treated them and killed them. They weren't like that, verse 6. They just simply ignored it. They neglected it. They didn't care. And so, friend, I believe that there's a lot of folks like that today. You don't have to physically be antagonistic toward the gospel and the New Testament church, but you can just simply say, I don't care right now. And I believe that's the shortest road to hell. The five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, they neglected to prepare their oil, and they weren't ready when the bridegroom came. The slothful servant, the one talent man, neglected his talent, Matthew 25, verse 25, and buried his talent. The wicked neglected the needy in Matthew 25, 41 through 46. They didn't take care of those who were in need. They just had other things they needed to do. I believe many people neglect their salvation because they underestimate its worth. They're not thinking about their soul. They have a strong love for the world, or they believe they have plenty of time to get it straightened out before the Lord comes again. But friends, as we close, think about the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We will not. Are you traveling the shortest road to hell? Neglect? Let me encourage you this morning not to neglect that anymore, but to take care of it while you can. Thank you for being with us on the program, and have a good day.